Hello and welcome to AMSSM Sports Medcast. As we approach the 2024 AMSSM annual meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, we will continue our mini journal club series highlighting each of the top articles in sports and exercise medicine from 2022 as selected from last spring's annual meeting. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Schroeder from Madigan Army Medical Center, and I'm joined today by Dr. Angela Rufo, who is an assistant professor at UMass Chan Medical School, Department of Family Medicine, and faculty of the Primary Care Sports and Exercise Medicine Fellowship. She is a team physician at Clark University, Worcester Public High Schools, Nashuba High School, and Northbridge High School. She enjoys traveling, working out, and spending time with family and friends. She serves as a member of the Top Articles Subcommittee, part of the AMSSM Education Committee. Angela, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, you are part of the AMSSM's Top Articles Subcommittee. How has that experience been for you?
It's been a great experience. I feel like I've learned so much pulling articles every month and finding what's new going on and new techniques. It's definitely helped me in like clinical practice.
That's fantastic. Since they have implemented this in AMSSM, the annual meetings, it's one of the things I look forward to most. And I am grateful for the opportunity to meet with you and break through as we enter articles numbers 11 and 6, of which you were assigned and you presented at the meeting last spring. We are going to cover a couple different articles out of that grouping. Today, we're going to talk about article number 11, can high-intensity interval training improve mental health outcomes in the general population and those with physical illnesses? This is a systematic review and meta-analysis by Martland et al. In BJSM 2022. We will also be covering article number 9, association between physical activity and risk of depression, also a systematic review and meta-analysis. This one was published in JAMA 2022 by Pierce et al. So Angela, starting off with article number 11 by Martland et al., we're looking at high-intensity interval training and potential benefits with mental health. So to start off with, just for the audience quickly, can you define what high-intensity interval training is?
Yes. So HIIT, high-intensity interval training, is defined as alternating short bursts of high-intensity exercise that reach greater than 85% of your heart rate peak and or greater than 80% of your peak VO2 max or equivalent measure interspersed with recovery periods of less than or equal to 5 minutes in duration, whereby a reduction in intensity was described.
Awesome. Thank you. So now we get into this systematic review. Can you tell us what went into this systematic review and meta-analysis? How were these studies chosen? What type of studies were included?
Yeah, so basically there was 58 randomized control trials included. The mean age was about 15.5 to 74.9 years old. The duration of HIIT programs ranged from a single session to about 10 months, including HIIT individuals. These individuals had no medical comorbidities. They were healthy older individuals, adolescents, patients with cardiometabolic disorders, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, heart failure, strokes, coronary artery disease, COPD, cancer, Crohn's, cutaneous systemic sclerosis, and patients including liver resections.
Awesome. So out of the 58 RCTs included, we have a pretty wide distribution of mean age, and it states that the duration goes from anywhere between one session and 10 months. So there's a lot of variability here, but what were the results or summary of this systematic review?
So the mental well-being, there was a moderate increase of the mental component summary scores with the patients in HIIT versus the non-active. There was also a small increase in the patients that did HIIT versus already active patients. With depression, there was also a moderate reduction in that HIIT group compared to the non-active, but there wasn't much of a change. There was no reduction at all compared to those that were already active versus those doing HIIT. And for anxiety, there was no reduction in anxiety severity compared with both non-active and active. Physiologic stress, there was a moderate decrease in perceived stress compared with non-active control. And then distress, there was a decrease in distress only after 3 to 10 months of HIIT. There was also sleep outcomes as well, like one randomized control trial improved after 12 weeks of HIIT compared to those non-active. Acute mental health outcomes, there was 5 randomized control trials, 4 had no change, 1 had some. And then long-term mental health outcomes, which is like ranges from 3 months to 5 years, 9 trials didn't show anything, where 1 showed a greater decrease in anxiety in the HIIT group from baseline at 5 years.
So looking at this, there's a lot of different things that we can pull out from this systematic review and meta-analysis. Overall, looks like there's some moderate improvements in just overall well-being and depression. Doesn't seem to move the needle for anxiety, but there's some RCTs, 1 out of 58, that shows some benefits in sleep outcomes. But overall, some long-term health outcomes may be there. So what is your overall take-home point for this, Angela?
So overall, HIIT has great benefits over mental well-being, depression, severity, and perceived stress compared to those that are not active. But even with just those active, HIIT does show some improvements with mental well-being. Unfortunately, the study didn't have a lot on sleep and anxiety. I was kind of hoping that HIIT would improve that. It looks like there needs to probably be more research, more studies.
And what to you made this article one of the top articles of 2022?
So in my practice, I see a lot of athletes of all ages, and they don't need to just be a basketball player, a hockey player. This is something where I'm getting like your average 50-year-old coming in, going to these HIIT classes. And this is something that's actually useful and pertinent to my patients. So it's beneficial overall.
And do you find that the heterogeneous nature from this, marking the variability in age, the duration, does that change anything for you? Do you still feel like this is an effective and high quality study?
I think it does have some limitations. I think they need to include a younger population, less than 15, and definitely above 65.
I think that sometimes these systematic reviews and meta-analysis, you know, trying to create a lot of things, and the results are diverse, but it should be a call to action to promote more studies in the field. And even if more questions are brought up than answered fully, that we can focus in on different things and hopefully propel more RCTs in some of these specific questions or areas.
Yeah, I agree.
So now we take another little bit about looking at overall mental health and exercise. And our number 9 article from the top 22 articles is the association between physical activity and risk of depression, another systematic review and meta-analysis by Matthew Pierce et al. From JAMA. In this, what did Pierce and his colleagues seek out to study?
So they were investigating the dose response associated between physical activity and depression. And basically, they were going in describing what the World Health Organization recommends. The recommended physical activity level is about 8.8 marginal mets per hour per week. So it's approximately 2.5 hours per week of physical activity at moderate intensity of 3.5 marginal mets. The level of the 17.5 hours per week marginal mets is recommended for additional health benefits.
Awesome. Thanks, Angela. So the World Health Organization, we know, recommends physical activity on a regular basis. The average recommendation for physical activity is a minimum of 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity a week, or 300 minutes total at the higher level, or 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous intensity activity. This lines up with that 8.8 to 17.5 metabolic equivalents for training or METs.
Yes, it does. So 15 techs were included with 130 participants contributing to 28,806 incident depression events in 2,110,588 persons per year. 64% were women. Most studies were included in higher income countries. And 78% reported exposure levels between low 17.5 marginal METs per hour per week, with almost all 95% below 35 marginal METs per hour per week.
So Angela, after taking a look at some of our population that was studied, what was found in the response between physical activity and depression?
So as we increase physical activity, there is a decrease in major depression and depressive symptoms.
What was the recommendation as far as, is there a sweet spot for amount of training that's needed?
So it's showing that half the recommended activity of just 4.4 marginal METs had 18% lower depression rates. The recommended at 8.8 had about 25% lower depression rates.
So it looks like definitely there was a benefit with physical activity and overall depression. And to get some of that benefit, you didn't even need to get to the recommended levels of physical activity. Even just half of that got to 18%, where at the minimum level of recommended activity, we're about 25%.
That's correct.
Awesome. So in this article, after taking a look at this, what is your big take-home point?
My big take-home point is just walk for like 10 minutes a day and your depression rate will decrease.
So even there is a benefit. And although it looks like continuing on to get more physical activity, although it has numerous benefits, we'll still get some increased dose-dependent mental health effects, but it does seem to plateau a little bit from these studies. So again, looking at these, what would you say about having two articles in the top 11 to be focused on mental health?
I think it's definitely a topic that most people don't touch upon or talk about when patients come to your office, especially during COVID. I think it's a big thing, you know, just keeping them active and moving can not only improve their physical health, but also their mental health.
Well, there you have it. Definitely two articles that reflect the great benefits of physical activity with mental health. So as we come across our patients that may have depression or mental health concerns, a free and easy prescription that can be given to all is physical activity and exercise. Thank you so much, Angela. This is a great time chatting about these two articles. I look forward to the next episode we have to talk about two more.
Thank you.
I would like to thank Dr. Angela Rufo from the AMSSM's Top Articles Committee. Links to this article can be found in our podcast show notes. I'd also like to thank you, the listener. I hope you have found this time valuable. And if so, please share this podcast with colleagues and help promote the visibility of this product by liking, subscribing, and leaving a quality 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. We hope you'll join us for the 2024 AMSSM annual meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, held in person, but also a virtual attendance option. And join us again soon for the next edition of the AMSM Sports Medcast. The views expressed are theirs alone and do not represent the official policy or position of UMass Chan Medical School, the Department of Defense, Defense Health Agency, or U.S. government.